This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown, presented by the Sportscast. Today is January 18, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. If you can listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast. Visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West, and welcome to another edition of the Top 25 Rundown. I am joined tonight by Nicholas Hodel, senior at the Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communications at Arizona State, host and writer for College Basketball Bonanza on Blaze Radio ASU, also the editor and chief Colonel Intel, formerly at 98.7 Arizona Sports. He was a writer and content producer. Good evening, Nicholas. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Thank you so much for having me on. I am doing pretty darn well tonight.
Awesome. And hey, it's my pleasure. I always want to make sure that I can learn more about college basketball. And I noticed that for Arizona State, how are they doing this year, sir?
Well, Arizona State, quite frankly, is having one of their better starts to a college basketball season. I think many people can recall in recent memory a 15-3 team that, while it's certainly had its downs when they've have taken losses to Texas Southern and San Francisco on the road in the non-conference slate, this is a team that has looked very, very good as far as its athleticism. Its defense in particular has been the calling card of this team, as head coach Bobby Hurley likes to say so many times. And it has kept them in games, and a lot of games in which perhaps Arizona State had the potential to lose. The defense keeps them in it, and it allows the Sun Devils to make comebacks. And this team, the Cambridge brothers of Devin and Desmond, have been some of the biggest drivers of all of this. And it's a credit to Hurley, his job in the transfer portal, bringing those two guys in, as well as point guard Frankie Collins. It's just the nucleus of this group is so strong together. And it's one of those situations where Arizona State has risen from their preseason expectations to really be that third team in the Pac-12 that now many people are expecting to make the NCAA tournament when they really didn't have those expectations going into the year. So it's a really impressive coaching job by Bobby Hurley to get all these guys together and make the kind of run they're having.
Well, that's great to hear. Yeah. Hurley is in his second or third year at Arizona State?
Bobby Hurley's been there for quite a while now. Really? Yeah, it's certainly been a tenure that has had its ups and certainly its downs over the last couple of years. Can't remember the number off the top of my head, but he has been there for quite a while now.
Okay, yeah, no. I apologize about that. I do remember that Arizona State was lucky enough to get him from Duke, because I know that at the time when he was with the Blue Devils, he was considered one of the, blue chip assistant coaches. So for them to be able to get him away definitely was a high point for Arizona State. And in some ways it put him on the map, because they're like, if they're able to get him, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. And a lot of the recruiting that Arizona State has done to bring in really, really good prospects, both from the portal and traditional recruiting, it has paid its dividends once the chemistry part of it has figured itself out. And that's been some of the issue over the past couple of seasons, particularly during the COVID season and this past season in 21-22, had some problems with the chemistry, and really towards the back end of last season, it really started to come together. Unfortunately, too little too late for the Sun Devils for tournament hopes. But really now, the chemistry is there, clicking on all cylinders. I mean, this is absolutely a team that people really need to get a good feel for before March. I really do have this feeling that Arizona State is going to be in that field of 68.
Okay. I mean, I would not be surprised, just because Arizona State. Now I did look up. Harley's been the coach since 20. He was hired on April 19. So I take it back. He has been there a lot longer than I thought. But I know that for the Pac-12, usually it's you're more looking like Oregon and UCLA. So for Arizona State to have a shot, that would be great. I know that they've had the potential, but it's just trying to get all the keys together for them so that they could actually make a decent run in the tournament, which if this is their year, that would definitely be great to watch.
Yeah, it's a much needed year like this too for head coach Bobby Hurley in particular. As I mean, myself before the season, I was wondering, could this be a hot seat year if things don't really fix themselves after the past couple of years went south? Obviously, not having to worry about that at the moment as this Sun Devil team just continues to perform really well.
That's great to hear. And I mean, Arizona State, you don't really hear them talked about for basketball as much as how they used to be for football. Just being that I'm an Ohio State fan, I remember when Jake the Snake Plumber was there and Pat Tillman. So, I mean, that it's definitely been different. But even to hear how this is right now, I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on them to see how they do. And before we jump into some of the games this week, is there a game coming up for them that's going to be, I guess, not exactly a rivalry game, but a game that is going to be probably one of the biggest of the year?
Yeah, this is their biggest of the year. Tomorrow night in Tempe as UCLA comes to town, and this will be for first place in the Pac-12. ASU can tie UCLA at the top of the standings. And so it's a massive game, really, for Arizona State to get themselves a huge home test against one of the best teams in the entire country, the UCLA Bruins. They have consistently been in my personal top 10 all the way for the last several weeks now, getting into the top 5 of the AP poll this week. But this is one of those situations very much like the New Year's Eve game for ASU against Arizona. You get a big team in like this, you get national television spotlighted on you. It's a huge opportunity for the Sun Devils to really show what they have. And this particular group of guys, I think, could compete very well with UCLA. It's going to really be just all about just how well they work together as a team and really avoiding some bad possessions on offense. I think it's probably one of the bigger keys to Arizona State. I've certainly seen some times when the Sun Devils chuck up some three-pointers, they don't go down because of symptom, and all of a sudden they're down big. And kind of what happened against San Francisco. Threes weren't falling. San Francisco couldn't miss. Boom, 37-point loss. I mean, that's sort of how that sort of thing happens. I would be very cautious about those ASU. And they love to have that team ability. They're very unselfish. Definitely keep that attitude. And if they remain unselfish and their defense has a really good outing, this could be a really fun game to watch.
That's good. For me, I hadn't seen that game was tomorrow, but with asking you about that and look at that, I'm planning on actually watching that game, and I am going to be rooting for Arizona State. I've got to be honest, though, UCLA this year, they've been doing pretty well, so I mean, that's why it's going to be up in the air, but with this game, they can see how they are, and then come tournament time, let me rephrase that, come conference tournament time, that could maybe give them an added boost just for how they can play in the tournament and see how they'll go, then see how it goes Selection Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And that Pac-12 tournament, I'm sure Arizona State would love to be in the top 4 of the conference, receive that bye straight to the conference quarterfinals. And quite the big deal as far as that's concerned. I mean, I still remember last year's conference tournament, ASU in that first round, just they looked comfortable, ended up blowing it in the first round, and that's their season right there. So get that boost into the quarterfinals straight away. I think that would be massive for the Sun Devils.
That's great. And I mean, just I can tell that you being a huge fan for the Sun Devils, just watching how they're doing this year, it's got to be, I don't want to say comfort, but I would say it's definitely a relief. Like you said, just how it's been the past 2 or 3 years, just seeing how it is and watching the expectations go from maybe middle of the pack, maybe just kind of below that now, to watch them actually look like hopefully they're going to be contending for the rest of the year, which, I mean, that would be huge to watch.
Yeah, and then they're a team that I always felt like they have the pieces to try and really get something together. It's just, could this team come together and play really well? And obviously, at this point in the year, it's a very emphatic yes, they can, and they can put that together pretty consistently as well.
I mean, that's what I love to hear, just because watching different games, you get to watch who's showing up and who isn't. And I was watching some of those games last night, which we'll get into the top 25 in a minute. But one game I want to highlight about that happened was that Georgia and Kentucky game, because I felt in that game, his name is a fun name to try to say, but I felt like this game, he really took control of the game and just kind of willed Kentucky to the win.
Yeah, it's not too often you see someone with a 37-point, 24-rebound stat line at this level. I mean, it was a very impressive Tshiebwe performance and really just willed them to victory over a Georgia team who really gave Kentucky the business in that first half. And it took until the second half for Kentucky to take the lead and then pull away from a Georgia Bulldog team that has been much improved this season. But certainly the kind of win that you build the momentum, you get an upset win against Tennessee this past weekend, you get this win in the midweek, starting to get the momentum rolling, get this thing down the hill a little bit. I mean, after going into that Tennessee game, all the headlines were, oh my gosh, this team is screwed. I mean, like, they took that home loss to South Carolina, and it's like, oh gosh, we don't know how bad this can get. But now we're starting to see this Kentucky Wildcat team find some momentum. And if this is going to continue, it's going to take more nights like this from Tshiebwe. Maybe not to a 37-point, 24-rebound kind of deal, but he's going to have to be the driving force of this. And it's something that I've been saying for a while, that they need to just continue feeding him, let him do the work inside, and everyone else can kind of play support almost. Mm-hmm. But you got to try and get the ball to Tshiebwe as much as possible, because – why would you not want to primarily use your defending National Player of the Year?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, Kentucky fans were really happy when he came back for a second year, because, I mean, usually when you win National Player of the Year, more often than not, it's a one-and-done situation. So when he announced that, you could tell Kentucky was definitely looking forward to that, although in some ways it feels like this year they've kind of underperformed, but I would also say that for how Calipari is coaching, you can definitely see that this year he's working a lot harder and trying to coach up the players more. So, I mean, just how was last week compared to this week, it's almost like night and day, but you're kind of feeling more like the expectations that Calipari normally has for a team that he coaches. So, I mean, that's why I'm curious to see how he's going to contend in the SEC tournament and making the tournament, just because I can give you another example. It's kind of like how Tom Izzo during the regular season at times at Michigan State, he doesn't always look like he's doing that well, but come tournament time, you know that he's going to get as much out of every play that he has, and the only question is how far they're going to go before something happens, basically.
Yeah, I mean, typically, programs like that and good coaches like that, they like to have their teams peaking at the right time. This may be a situation with Kentucky where they're trying to peak at the right time. You know, they got their struggle early on, yes, but maybe now they're trying to really find themselves and get themselves in a spot to where, come March, you're in a spot now to where you are playing your best basketball, and no one can deny that.
Couldn't have said that better myself. Other two games I see that, well, I'm gonna go to the ACC this time. You had Boston College and North Carolina. And North Carolina, that they were at home, but even Boston College for a while looked like it was a little bit of a scare. They did pull away at the end and won 72-64. Looked like Armando Baca. I'm getting all the fun games right now, fun names to try to say, but he led them with 20 points, and I know it seems like this game was closer than it was, but it felt like North Carolina really had to step up their defense against Boston College.
Yeah, certainly. And this North Carolina team, and they've kind of been through all of their ups and downs, just really all over the place this year. And they're a team that I still believe in. I mean, the collective talent of that group really should be far better than a 13-6 output to this point in the year, in my opinion. And they're a team that, I mean, at least going into this particular week, just barely out of my personal top 25. But I could really see this team stepping in there next week, as long as they beat a solid NC State team on Saturday. I mean, that might be a very competitive game for the Tar Heels. They may have to really battle through that. But at this point in the year, again, it's middle of January. You know, you're allowed to have your struggles and ups and downs. But when you get into February, and especially those later weeks, you better be playing your right basketball at that point, because if you're not playing your peak then, it's really hard to get that going and get that momentum rolling.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Another ACC team that I wanted to mention, Florida State played Notre Dame and they won 84-71. And they, I mean, Leonard Hamilton, he's a good coach. It just feels like they're definitely on the way to doing well. Just because you always see how they're usually fourth or fifth leads in the ACC. More just curious to see what he's going to do with his players, because this is a time where I think that he's going to start peaking, because every year, even though they're not usually top two or top three, you always feel like Florida State's a contender in the ACC. It just depends on how it's going to shape out.
Yeah, the big problem with Florida State is that, one, they haven't proven they can win consistently games like that, and by a couple of margins. Well, I mean, 84-71. I mean, that's a pretty darn good night at the offense, particularly for a road game in college basketball. So it's so hard to win on the road. The problem for Florida State, number one, 6-13. That's not going to make anyone optimistic at all. And it's part of because they had a disastrous non-conference season. I mean, when you lose to teams like Stetson and Troy within the first week of the season, it's not going to inspire the confidence of anyone. And at this point for Florida State, they just got to find a way to get through this part of the year and still maintain a positive attitude. Because again, it's not like Florida State's going to make magic happen in the ACC tournament. We've certainly seen teams do that. But once you get to that point, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, there's always an automatic bid on the line waiting to be grabbed. And if Florida State happens to be playing at their peak so well that they can do it, more credit to them. But they're just a team that I just can't see it happening with them this season.
Okay. So would you say hopefully they're NIT bound? If that, like, say they go on a run right now from now to the end of the year and they make it to, let's say, the second round of the ACC tournament, would you consider them possibly being in the NIT, or would you think about maybe them being in a tournament below that if they were lucky enough to get in?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really hard to just dig out of that hole of being 6-13, being so far below 500. I mean, for Florida State to be able to get to that point, minimum 500, you're almost talking about Florida State having to eventually reach that upper echelon in ACC play, which I just cannot see happening.
And I mean, this is definitely not the best year. I just know that Leonard Hamilton, he usually does pretty well at Florida State. I mean, he's kept them in contention the past few years, but it just,
There's no denying he's a good coach, but he's just got a down year right now, and that's about the extent of it.
Very true. Getting into the top 25 games from yesterday, you had Houston play Tulane, and they won by 20, 80-60. Marcus Sasser led with 23 points for Houston. Looks like Jalen Forbes had 23 also for Tulane.
Yeah, this is another classic Houston game in the American Athletic Conference, which I'm sure Houston fans are dying for this shit to be over so they just move on to their Big 12 era starting next season. But performances like this, and pending a win against Temple on Sunday, they'll be my number one, really, finally, at this point, for Houston. I mean, when it first came down to that decision between Kansas and Houston, I personally took Kansas over Houston just because of what they had done in the Big 12. But Kansas losing to Kansas State the other night, it's certainly looking like it is Houston's time.
Yep, just watching that game. I was watching that game last night, and that was a nail biter because neither team was willing to give up until finally, in overtime, Kansas State pulled away literally the last second, even though it was only a point, but still. That game, you did not feel confident on either team winning just because whenever Kansas and Kansas State play, it is a true rivalry game in basketball. And I mean, that's I haven't really seen them have a game, I don't want to say this competitive per se, but kind of remind me when Frank Martin was there as a coach, because he would always have the players fired up.
Yeah, and what Coach Jerome Tang has done on Kansas State is quite frankly nothing short of remarkable. I mean, Kansas State, they had about zero expectations coming into this year, and it was one of those years where, like, you're dealing with a first-year coach. You lost Nigel Pack to Miami via the transfer portal. I mean, there's just so many things that were pointing down with this Kansas State team. And yet this team looks like they're elite. And just the way they run things, I mean, it's quite impressive. And I think that that is true. And I think what's also true in a situation like this is just Kansas finding out just how tough it is to play on the road in the Big 12. I like to call it the never-ending gauntlet just because of you're playing a quality opponent every single night. And at some point, teams are going to be chewed out of it. I mean, Texas Tech looks like one of those teams that looks like they're just not going to be as competitive in the Big 12 as some may have thought. But you get into a game like this, and particularly in a game that, which at the Bramblers Coliseum in Manhattan, the place is rocking. I mean, so many of the national reporters were there, were pretty much saying the same thing, that one of the loudest buildings they've been to in quite a while. And it's just so hard to move away from Allen Fieldhouse in Kansas's case, go to your in-state rival, go into an environment like that. It is really difficult to get those road wins. And especially when you have a program like Kansas State who is really feeling itself, now 16-2, if they can beat Texas Tech Saturday, they will surely be in the top 10 in this country, in my opinion. And there's really not a lot else you can say about Kansas State at this point other than they have proven themselves to be elite.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say for Kansas State, like you said, their coach with low expectations and just watching how they're doing this time. This year, it's definitely going to be a time for them to just see how they're going. And it's going to be one of the going to be one of the challenging storylines, I guess the best way to put it, just because since now with that win, they are in a three-way tie with Iowa State being all at five and one in the conference, because Kansas State now and Kansas have a 16-2 overall.
This is a classic Big 12 case where everyone's on top of each other at this point, and it's going to be a week-by-week basis of just the standings flopping teams.
That's definitely good for not only college basketball, but just for the Big 12, because I saw that there was an article today talking about how the Big 12 was the toughest conference in basketball for college, and I can agree with that, but I just want to see how that goes, because we're seeing it during the regular season. I want to see how it kind of unfolds come tournament time, because the Big 12, you haven't really seen make it as far other than Kansas usually in the past few years.
Yeah, and Kansas defending champions at this point. And don't forget about the Baylor run in 2021 to the national championship as well.
No, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12, not only have they proven to be the most difficult conference to play in, well, you're getting teams night in, night out that are just as good as you, if not better. It's also proven that iron is sharpening iron to where teams in the Big 12 are competing at Final Fours on a regular basis, it seems like now.
Yeah, I mean, I know that it's been the case more for women's basketball, but just watching it for the men's basketball in the past few years, it's great to see, honestly, because usually you would hear mostly about the ACC or the Pac-12. I mean, just because you would see, like, Duke and Carolina for the most part, you'd always be hearing the talk about them. So to see that it's being changed up, that's important. See, Alabama played Vanderbilt, and they won 78-66. Brandon Miller had 30 points in that game for Alabama, and for Alabama, they're going to stay at number 4.
Yeah, Alabama's a team that...
How do you feel about Alabama this year?
Yeah. Pardon me for getting ahead of you there a little bit, but Brandon Miller's an absolute stud. I mean, he is an absolute stud.
No apology necessary.
Yeah, I mean, he is by far one of the best freshmen in the country. And you just look at what Alabama has done. They are continuing to, quite frankly, put a pummeling on the SEC. I mean, right now, I could be talking myself into a legitimate conversation between Purdue and Alabama for the number 2 spot in the country. I think should everything stay as planned with the top teams winning out the rest of this week, I'm looking at Kansas really dropping no further than 5, probably to 4. And then Houston going to that number 1 spot, and then really reconsidering Purdue and Alabama. Both these teams are phenomenal, don't get me wrong. And they're very, very close to each other. Purdue with the 1 loss, but Alabama's 2 so far has really been the edge for me. But Alabama's 2 losses are good quality losses. I mean, there's no mistaking that. So I really think that both Purdue and Alabama, I think both those teams have a fair claim to number 2 in the country, assuming they both win out this week.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that too. Just when I was looking at it, it looks like right now Purdue's on a 4-game win streak and Alabama's on a 7-game, which either way, when you're able to have a win streak that's that long already, that's pretty impressive. That, and like you said, with Brandon Miller showing out right now, I mean, he's already kind of looking like he could be a 1-and-done. But we just got to wait to the end of the year and see how the tournament comes just to see how it's going to end up. I mean, Alabama, would you I'm going to put you on the spot, okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Who do you have as your 1 seeds right now for the tournament? I'm saying early 1 seeds. They can always change later on, but who are you looking at your top 4 1 seeds right now?
Right now, I think it's a breakaway 4, quite frankly, with Kansas, Houston, Purdue, and Alabama. Not necessarily in that order, but when I look at these 4 teams, I look at 4 teams who have proven themselves to be the best 4 teams in the country based off the resumes, the quality wins for all of these teams. It's flowing, the quality wins. They continue to prove themselves night in, night out. And when they do get losses, as Kansas did this week, they're close, they're very competitive games, and they're away from their home floor in most cases. And that's really that sign of it's taking everyone's best effort just to be competitive with these guys. Nonetheless, regardless of beating them, it's really hard to really say that a team like UCLA or especially Tennessee at this point, it's really hard to say that those teams deserve to be at a number 1 seed over an Alabama, over a Purdue, over a Houston, and over a Kansas, in my opinion.
Okay. No, I can fully agree with those just because, I mean, stats don't lie, numbers don't lie, and wins don't lie. It's more just waiting to see, I mean, with the starts that all 4 of these teams are having, it would be hard for anyone to even try to argue or make a better case for them. I mean, I was looking at just other conferences, how you would have some teams that have won losses as well, just because one of them, I saw Florida Atlantic 17-1. I mean, that's good. And then you also have Charleston, for the CAA, Charleston Cougars right now, they're on an 18-game winning streak, which that is impressive, but the quality opponents, they're not going to be able to measure up compared to Houston, Purdue, Alabama, or Kansas.
Yeah, that is certainly the case. And in FAU's case, Conference USA, Datcha does have a couple of decently strong opponents in UAB and North Texas, and they've beaten mm-hmm. them. I mean, what FAU has done is really quite remarkable for a program that they are having the season of a lifetime down mm-hmm. there at Florida Atlantic University. It's quite something that should be commended for sure. And certainly in Charleston's case, they really captured everyone's attention by winning their home MTE, the Charleston Classic. And before that, played North Carolina at the time, number one, pretty darn well. Both of those mid-major teams, they are doing incredibly well. You get to the point of their margin for error and to the point of you made with the quality of opponents, the margin of error is not great for either of those teams right now. You just got to keep winning. I mean, that's what solves everything, winning. And so if FAU and Charleston, say, each of those teams, if they somehow drop even a couple of games within their conference that they really shouldn't be dropping, I think you'll start to see the concerns for their at-large possibilities really start to rise. But right now, both of these teams are in remarkable positions.
Absolutely. I mean, just for those two standings right there, it reminds me of how Stephen F. Austin a few years ago, how they were, I believe, was 31-2 during the season before they went to the tournament. So, I mean, if they are a mid-major who can make it in, I'd like to see what kind of dent they make come tournament time.
Yeah, you always like to see the mid-majors perform well, earn those higher seeds. I mean, in a lot of cases, it is program history being made at those smaller schools, even outside the automatic bids. I mean, when FAU and Charleston, they're clearly proving that they are two quality mid-majors, not just within the mid-major category, but also on a national level, which is quite impressive.
Exactly. I mean, that's why looking down, I see they have Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and BYU for their standings. Gonzaga and St. Mary's, they're at top of the conference. And even for their win-loss, there's only one win. They're tied in wins, but St. Mary's has one more loss than them in that. Seeing how they always contend during the not only the conference tournament, but just how the bids go, I'd say that you're starting to see some teams pull away and set themselves up to where, as long as things go how they normally do go, they should have no problem getting a bid. So, I mean, it's trying to see that. I did see that Iowa State upset Texas yesterday as well, 78-67, with Jaron Holmes leading the Cyclones. And then he had 21 points, and Christian Bishop had 12 points. That's definitely a good upset for the Big 12.
Yeah, and Iowa State, right along with Kansas State, both of these programs have really shot out of the cannon into the rankings, and they've really stayed there. And Iowa State's another team who I could see making the leap into the top 10, assuming they win at Oklahoma State Saturday. I mean, it's another case, like the Kansas-Kansas State game, of just how hard it is to beat a quality opponent on the road in the case of Texas. And the Longhorns, they'll be fine. We go back to Kansas, they will be even more fine. It's just how the Big 12 does things. You have tough mm-hmm. games night in, night out. And Kansas State and Iowa State, their emergence has made this year's Big 12 so good. I mean, Texas Tech has had more than their fair share of struggles in Big 12 play. West Virginia, they're still a quality team in my opinion, and it's definitely within the opinion of the analytics. Oh, yeah. But they have also struggled in Big 12 play, and I saw they were doing some well. They beat TCU tonight. So again, another example of TCU traveling to West Virginia. I mean, that's a tough one to make that trip over to West Virginia. And that's a big one for West Virginia to get that. I mean, all the analytics still say they're a quality team. For them to get one Big 12 play and to beat a team like TCU, that really just confirms that. And so, I mean, there are no easy nights in the Big 12. I mean, you have to be prepared every single night. If you're not prepared, you're likely going to get blown out. That's just the way the Big 12 works right now.
Yeah, one thing for the Big 12 also, just Texas, how they had to recover from Chris Beard being suspended then fired, and how they have basically just stood up and just done really well this year. I mean, even though they did lose that game, they did have high hopes. But then when Chris Beard got suspended, and I mean, it was a shame that he lost his job. But just watching how the assistant coaches have kept them going in the right direction, that's definitely a positive for Texas when they need a positive for that team right now. So,
yeah, and Rodney Terry has plenty of experience with previous stops, Fresno State and UTEP for him. And Texas, they have to make the trip to West Virginia Saturday themselves. So that'll be very interesting to see how that one plays out after West Virginia. They get the upset of TCU. They're feeling real good about themselves. Then they're another highly rated team goes into Morgantown. That should be a fun one.
Yeah, Morgantown is not a fun place to play. So that, with Bob Huggins as a coach, with how he's done at not only Cincinnati, but Kansas State, then coming to West Virginia. I mean, he is not a coach that you ever want to underestimate. At least in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
That, and I see that we had Tennessee play Mississippi State and they won 70-59 with Ja'Kai Zeigler getting 24 points for the Volunteers and Shaquille Moore getting 20 for Mississippi State. Because it looks like Tennessee, they're having a decent year, but it's more just waiting to see how they're going to do come tournament time, because they're 5-1 in the conference, 15-3 overall. It's more just, I mean, that hiccup against Kentucky definitely did not help them.
Yeah, it really didn't. And my personal thought process of ranking a top 25 from this past Sunday, hard to push Tennessee any further down than 10, in my opinion, just because of all the other murky waters that really from 11 to 22 kind of provided within that week. But Tennessee, I think they're proving that they are recovering quite fine themselves. To go to Mississippi State a little bit, they had a really promising start with their good defense. That has since eroded. Really hard to see how the Bulldogs really fight their way from this slip that they've had really in 2023 period. I mean, but their strong defense makes them a really tough out. And I think that's very important that, yes, Mississippi State isn't quite the team that we thought they were after their early undefeated start, but they're still going to be a pain to play against.
Very true. And speaking of pain to play against, you see that 19 Clemson played Wake Forest, and they Wake Forest upset Clemson 87-77 with Tyree Appleby having 24 points for the Demon Deacons and PJ Hall leading the Tigers with 22. And considering that Clemson is tops in the ACC, having a win, having a loss like that, that definitely does not help when you're trying to, I guess, kind of pull away in the ACC, which that's a hard thing to say regardless. But Clemson being 19 and still being the top team in the ACC, it's a good foundation. But what would you say for just in terms of an upset right now for mid-season for conference play?
I think in the case of Clemson, yet again, another road game. It's continuing to pop up really within our conversation tonight. And I think for Clemson in particular, they're going to find a way to deal with that target on their back. And I think a lot of teams in the ACC are learning how to deal with that, with Duke not playing so hard and North Carolina not playing as well as their collective talent should be playing to, as I mentioned earlier tonight. Mm-hmm. And a team like Wake Forest, they're also having quite a good year. Only a quadrant two win for them, which is pretty much determined by net rankings. And that's basically how you build your resume in college basketball. I mean, so teams like Wake Forest, they still got to build the resume, and really Clemson too. I mean, the ACC, a lot of good teams, a lot of teams that should be making the tournament when it's all said and done, but it's right now, there's no clear great team out of the ACC. And I think that's the big problem for the ACC, is that you're playing good teams. You're not necessarily playing great teams on a night-to-night basis. I mean, it's, you go back to the Big 12, make the comparison. It's a night and day difference right now between the Big 12 and the ACC. So it's something that the conference can't really escape at this point. It's something you got to deal with right now and win the games you should. I think that's probably the biggest thing I would say for a lot of these teams, the Clemsons of the world, the North Carolinas of the world. Just win the games you're supposed to win. You'll be fine. You'll get in the field of 68, and then you can put together a run. That's kind of how North Carolina got to the Final Four last season. You know, peak at the right time, get that 8 seed, look like an 8 seed that is really, really good, and then just start beating teams. That's how UNC did it last year. So it just proves to you that anyone can do it as long as they put the run together and they are playing their best basketball. I'll be curious come February to see which one or two teams in the ACC really start to appear like they're doing that, playing their best basketball at the right time, put together a winning streak in the ACC play, and really start to figure out just how good you can be.
That is very true, although the one game for North Carolina that I will never forget last year was just watching Coach K's last game at home and watching North Carolina beat them and then him having to give his speech. Because you could tell that even though he was upset, you knew that he knew that he had confidence in his team. And so, I mean, they made the national championship game. So you knew that he was going to have him ready come tournament time. But it just, watching him end on his home career on that note, I'm not going to say it was gratifying, but it definitely, you couldn't feel as bad about that just because, in some ways, you saw it coming, but just because of how big that rivalry has been over the years for him and any coach he's played against, it kind of felt fitting, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, certainly.
That, and funny you should mention the Big 12. The last big top 25 game that happened yesterday was Baylor against Texas Tech, and Baylor won 81-74 with Keontae George scoring 27 points and Jalen Tyson scoring 19 points for the Raiders. And that's, you definitely see the target on their back, like you're saying, for the Big 12. And even though Baylor and Texas Tech are middle to bottom according to conference ranking, because Texas Tech hasn't won a conference game, you're just seeing how they're definitely making every game count.
Yeah, and this was really more of a convincing performance for Baylor, as I think Texas Tech tried to really call their back play into that. I was paying attention to that a little bit myself last night, and it's just what was one of those games where it's just like, Baylor's looking like they're well on their way to victory here. And right now we're starting to see that Texas Tech is becoming sort of a punching bag right now, but Texas Tech's still a quality team. They really got to figure it out, and they need to do it quickly as well, because you keep taking losses like this, the losses will add up.
Yep.
And at some point, your overall record is not going to be good enough for anyone's expectations. And right now, for Texas Tech in particular, the analytics are also saying that Texas Tech really is not a tournament team right now. And so they really got to figure it out. And quality games are everywhere in the Big 12. Texas Tech needs to find a way. Let's get one win, and then let's try to let momentum build itself. You know, try to stay afloat in the Big 12. If you stay afloat in the Big 12, chances are you're making the tournament with how many quality games there are. And that'd be my biggest thing for Texas Tech. Let's get one, see what we can do. Just try to stay afloat. Don't let yourself become the absolute basement of the conference where everyone's beating on you.
That's definitely true. I mean, I'm looking here, and like you said, for West Virginia winning, that was their first conference win of the year in the Big 12. They're 1-5 this year, so that definitely is somewhat surprising, although I'm looking at today's games that have already happened. Like you said, West Virginia beat TCU 74-65 with Miles Jr. from TCU scoring 25, and Mr. Johnson from West Virginia scoring 20 points. And yeah, Morgantown, that is definitely a very tough place to play. I also see that Auburn was able to beat LSU 67-49 with Jay Williams getting 14.7 rebounds, 3 blocks for Auburn, and Kay Williams for LSU got 16 points and 8 rebounds. So Auburn's able to keep their streak going for the top 25. Connecticut, though, got upset by Seton Hall today, 67-66. That is definitely a big game for the Big East, I would say.
Yeah, certainly. And quite frankly now, I think there should be legitimate concerns over the UConn Huskies. I mean, just in this month, losses in 4 of 5, now on a 3-game losing streak. This is really going to be a time for UConn where they better win at home against Butler on Sunday. I think now you're starting to enter UConn being in must-win territory for momentum's sake. I mean, if they lose against Butler, drop to 15-6, there could be, in some people's eyes, a legitimate argument to drop UConn out of the top 25. And should they lose to Butler, it is one that I will also entertain. And so you're getting to this point now to where you did so well in non-conference play, emerged on everyone's radar score. You were an elite team in this country, and now you're just dropping games like flies. And this reminds me of an Arizona State team, just to bring it all back to the start of our show. I believe it was 17-18, I believe it was. Crazy undefeated start. Got up to being considered a national elite team. I mean, the losses kept coming in Pac-12 play. Drop out of the rankings, fall into the bubble. That team got into the NCAA tournament. But you can really see how you can go up so high, you can fall so hard at the same time. And UConn, they have the talent there. Diamond Slingen has emerged as a fantastic player also for Connecticut. They got to find a way out of the slump. I mean, the Big East, it's not the greatest conference outside of really UConn, Marquette, Xavier. Providence is also a decent team, though Marquette's given them the business by a pretty convincing line, as last I saw while we're getting on this. So it's going to be a situation now. I think Providence scored a little bit there, trying to claw back within striking distance. So for back to UConn, got to find a way to win one of these games. And Butler is a team that you've beaten before. I attended that game at Hinkle Fieldhouse, a game which UConn didn't really look great for most of that stretch, but they finished so strong. And for UConn, you got to get back to figuring out how to finish strong again. And against a team like Butler, I think it gives Connecticut a good opportunity to figure some things out against a lesser opponent and just try to get back on track, because I think UConn really needs that right now.
I can definitely agree with that. And yeah, I'm looking at the scoreboard for the games that are happening right now. You got Arkansas ranked number 25, Tyler, Missouri 22 with 15 in the first half. You got Providence. They've come back some. They're only down by 6. It's 35-29 with 1:24 left in the first half. Then Xavier is playing DePaul, and right now DePaul's up by 3 with 15:54 in the second half of that game. So it's definitely going to be some nail biters for all three of those games.
The Xavier scoreline's an intriguing one right now. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see if they're going to be able to. I'd say they're going to come back, but still, them being down by 3, even in the second half, that's a little disconcerting. But we're going to wait to see what happens at the end of that. The game I was watching before we came on, I was watching Virginia beat Virginia Tech. It was 78-68, and Virginia Tech had gotten it down to about 5 points, but Virginia was just able to pull away at the end, make their free throws, and Virginia Tech, they were trying to shoot the threes near the end of the game to try to get the game closer, and unfortunately it just didn't work out, which it's a shame, but you can definitely see Virginia's still solidifying their position up the top in the ACC like they have been the past few years.
Yeah, very much so. It's classic Virginia at this point. I mean, they're going to just beat you down until you're like, you just can't no more. And it's a good win for Virginia, in-state rival. You definitely take those wins. Saturday at Wake Forest, I mean, that's going to be another really good environment at Wake Forest. And for the Demon Deacon, it's an even tougher challenge than Clemson. So big opportunity for Wake Forest. Virginia, chance to go 15-3, really try to solidify themselves as that top team in the ACC. Just looking at the conceptual, speaking of teams, certainly think that that will be also a huge game to keep an eye on.
That's definitely true. I did look up the rankings for what I'm seeing for the year. Now, do you usually look, when you're doing your rankings, your personal rankings, do you follow more the AP 25 or the coaches poll?
I tend to go more on the AP, but as we get into a rhythm, I also have actually quite a formulaic output where I'll pretty much lay out what I made out the week prior and listed all the different teams and really get an idea for what they did that week and stuff like that. And when it comes time to really get down to position by position determining teams that way, there are some weeks where I will reconsider head to head what you've done with your resume, the different games you've won from a season output. Not necessarily what have you done for me lately, but when it gets real close, I will look back at the entire season as far as what you have done. And so, I mean, that really is a big deal to me, sort of what have you done lately? And also, what have you done this entire year? Because I certainly think that is quite a big difference. And a lot of the movement I do is based off of my personal ranks from the prior week, especially you get this deep in the season and you've done it all year, you certainly get a good feel for what you like from a certain team, the results you like, and honestly, what results make the most impact. And I would say for Iowa State and Kansas State, they might be due a spot in the top 10 just based off of getting those ones at home against really, really good teams. Obviously, they need to take care of their business on Saturday, which for a lot of teams has proven to be much more difficult than advertised. Because a lot of teams have gone 1-1 last week and certainly 2 weeks ago. So it's certainly a lot of fluctuating ups and downs as the season goes along. But when you get, you certainly get a good idea for where a team should be, certainly at the top, as is the case with certainly my top 4, even top 5 to this point with UCLA in that fifth position. They have solidified themselves as those top 5 teams in my mind. They've earned their place there. But a lot of the other movements certainly can fluctuate week to week. And certainly the top 5 for teams losing, they can also change on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. Because, I mean, when I'm looking at AP top 25 right now, I do see the Houston has the top spot. Kansas is number 2. They're going to drop. Purdue's number 3. Alabama's number 4. UCLA's number 5. Gonzaga's number 6. Texas number 7. Xavier is number 8. Tennessee's number 9. Virginia's number 10. Arizona's number 11. Iowa State's number 12, Kansas State's number 13, TCU's number 14, UConn's number 15, Auburn is number 16, Miami's number 17, Charleston is number 18, Clemson's number 19, Marquette's number 20, Baylor's number 21, Providence number 22, Rutgers is number 23, Florida Atlantic's number 24, and Arkansas rounds out the top 25. So the question is, which teams are going to stay in and which teams are going to jump? Because, like we said, Kansas is going to fall some. UConn is definitely going to fall some. The only question is how far. Because from last week to this week, they dropped 9 spots.
Yeah, and they could be in for that again, quite frankly. And you drop to the 15-5, you're dealing with the 5-loss teams, and you certainly are not putting yourself in the right spot, though. Certainly to lose in the final seconds against a Seton Hall team, not quite as bad as being blown out by any means necessary. But for my personal thinking right now, it's obviously a little fluctuation in my top 25 from the AP. Certainly every AP voter will have some fluctuation from the official 25. As it stands for me right now, Clemson stands to drop possibly out of my 25. I don't know if they'll fall completely out of the AP 25 from 19, but for me personally, I have them 21, a couple of spots below the AP 25. So they will definitely stand to drop some. I think Providence, if they can't find a way to beat Marquette on the road, it's going to be a difficult conversation over where Providence stands within that conversation. And then I think the only true issue I have with this week's AP Top 25 was Arkansas. Me personally, they're on the cusp. They're right below the cut line. But going into the process, I personally couldn't see how I could rank Arkansas the way they were going at. I mean, losing to Vanderbilt, it's not good for anybody right now. And that was the biggest seller for me is I couldn't put them in my 25. But they're certainly a quality team. They just really got to figure it out. And you look at it, and they could be in a situation like Baylor. Baylor dropped out of my 25 last week, was out of the AP. They proved themselves, boom, they're right back in. That could be the case with Arkansas too, but it's going to take a for my personal top 25, certainly not the AP, and there's a sitting there 25th. But it's a lot of that kind of thinking and on a week-to-week basis, and just the way college basketball has been this year, it's been so tough to put together a top 25 order just because of how much fluctuation there is on that weekly basis.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, I'm jumping into college basketball a little late only because, well, I was definitely keeping track of the college football playoff and just seeing how that was going. That being said, though, just even looking at how it is today and just watching those games from last night, not only can I see the parity that's happening, but I'm also kind of seeing who's starting to break away and who's making themselves feel like, hey, we belong. We want to make sure that we're known and we want to start to make our impact now and just see if we can get the confidence and start to build the streak that's going to not only help us now, but come conference tournament time and hopefully NCAA tournament time.
Yeah. And I'll say this, you get this amount of parity now, it equals chaos in March. And that's what I live for, to see chaos ensue in March. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing just how the rest of the season develops and just how chaotic March can be. Because, I mean, there is no truly dominant team in the sport right now. And I think that's what makes this all so great. There's certainly teams that have proven themselves to be at the top tier of the sport, but it's not like they're just dominating everyone they play. And I think it's going to make for a really fascinating 6 weeks or so to see if anyone separates themselves from the pack. Certainly right now, in my opinion, that breakaway four still exists. Will that continue? Will one break away from the others? I think time at this point will only tell.
That is very true. While we didn't really get into women's basketball that much, I do want to make sure we go over the top 25 just because, well, we got to make sure that we mentioned about that. And then is there any team that you have kind of noticed about besides, say, maybe the Lady Sun Devils?
Well, Arizona State, they are quite simply, on the women's side, rebuilding. First-year head coach got her from Delaware. It has not quite transpired the way, even with low expectations, I don't think people would have been too happy. But it's a rebuilding year. It's going to take some time, and it takes a lot of time to replace a coach like Charlie Turner Thorne, who had done just fantastic things for the Arizona State women's basketball program. And Natasha Adair, I think, is certainly experiencing the learning curve of the Pac-12, one of the best women's basketball conferences in the entire country. And so that is a really hard learning curve to step into right away. And at times it has been very tough for Arizona State to break through when you have programs like Stanford who are consistently at the top in women's basketball. So it'll be something that I look forward to kind of checking in on every once in a while, seeing how that program is transpiring. But for right now, it is a very certain rebuild. Just try to get through the season and just try to see where you can make that next step in the 2023-24 season.
Yeah, I mean, I just see that they have not, unfortunately, won a conference yet. But that, hopefully they are able to make some moves in conference play, even if they don't make the NCAA tournament. If they could make the NIT, that would still be a minor success, I would say. Would that be fair to say?
There's a long way to go. That's a long way to go. So, I mean, either get into the WNIT, which works a little differently than the men's NIT in that it's a bit of a bigger field that you're working with there. So that would be, quite frankly, a major accomplishment just based on where they are right now. I mean, I don't see it happening for them this year, but it's something to work towards, I think, for head coach Adair in her time at Arizona State. Make that progressional move and try to get Arizona State to be one of the better teams in the Pac-12. Ultimately, that should be a long-term goal for the Sun Devils.
I can definitely agree with that. And yeah, like you were talking about for Stanford, it's hard to, unfortunately, bet against Tara DeWeaver because she brings it every year. And I mean, that's why some of the best games of the year for the Pac-12 right now usually have Stanford going against basically any school there. But real quick, going through the women's top 25, I do see that South Carolina is on top. Ohio State's number 2, LSU's number 3, Stanford's number 4, UConn's number 5, Indiana's number 6, Notre Dame's number 7, Utah's number 8, UCLA's number 9, Iowa's number 10, Maryland's number 11, Virginia Tech is number 12, Duke is number 13, Michigan's number 14, Oklahoma's number 15, Gonzaga's number 16, North Carolina's number 17, Iowa State's number 18, Arizona's number 19, NC State's number 20, Illinois's number 21, Villanova's number 22, Oregon's number 23, Colorado's number 4, and Texas rounds out the ladies' top 25. I'm kind of wondering how UConn's going to do this year just because I don't know if you saw how they had their injuries to where they actually had to postpone, they had to cancel a game because they actually didn't have enough women to play the game last week.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be very curious to see how that goes on. But I mean, the UConn women's basketball program usually doesn't have too many issues. So that's a program I can trust to sort of get back on track and rebound personnel and on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm when they lost Paige Beckers this year, that kind of when you saw that in the offseason, you're like, wait a second, let's see what's going to happen. So, with her coming back next year, it would definitely be something to watch. Although, seeing LSU with, I believe this is Kim Mulkey's second year after she left Baylor. So, seeing how they are undefeated this year so far. I'm definitely curious to see how she does with the Lady Tigers.
Yeah, and for me, women's basketball, for me personally, isn't a strong suit, but I will say this. The NCAA tournament for the women's game has really gotten better with the parity of the sport. I think a lot of times in the women's game, it's a very top-heavy sport, and you'll see a lot of times the top seeds just cruise their way into the women's Final Four, and not necessarily the case for some of these teams, as there are it's a bigger presence of mid-majors that are really solid in the women's basketball scene. So I mean, the NCAA tournament on the women's side just as good compared to the men. So it's definitely something that I will pay attention to a little bit when it gets closer to that time.
Of course, of course. So let's see. That and I know for Iowa, just because Caitlin Clark, for her scoring, how she's been doing pretty well for that. Have you been keeping track of that just a tiny bit as well?
Not necessarily, if I'm being completely honest with you there.
Okay. No, I just know that she's been, they were talking about how she broke, I think, the points record for Iowa over there, and I think they thought that she was going to go to the WNBA last year. She didn't, so I think that Iowa's going to definitely be one of the teams to beat. That being said, sir, if we were trying to reach you outside of here, what social media would we be able to find you on?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Hodel Sports. That's really the best way. I mean, I'm on Twitter all the time. I mean, it's almost bad how much I'm on Twitter. So you can certainly send me a direct message there at Hodel Sports, and I would certainly be happy to answer any college basketball related questions you have, as we're gearing up towards the peak time of the year, and certainly trying to peak myself towards that time of the year. And I'm really looking forward to it.
That is awesome. Well, Nicholas, thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. I'm also looking forward to, like you said, Arizona State against UCLA tomorrow. Let's see how the Sun Devils do, and hopefully they will win that game, and then we'll just watch the momentum keep going for them so that come tournament time, we can look at them hopefully being higher than the 7 seed, maybe.
I think you could say, as long as they win the games they're supposed to win and then get a few more quality wins, that is definitely a reasonable expectation, in my opinion.
That is awesome. That was what I was hoping, but I didn't want to go too high for realistic expectation for them. So, I mean, it's great how they've already been making good strides this year, but I just want to see if they can, like you said, keep it up and not make the strides early, then have a collapse late year. I don't think that's going to happen, but we always got to make sure, because you know, in college basketball, especially come tournament time, a lot of things can definitely happen. You can find me at allen.west on Instagram. Thank you very much for your time, Nick, and I look forward to having you back on another day. This has been the Sportscast. Have a good night, everybody.